Welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast, where we are breaking free from the chains of our past and rising to lead extraordinary lives. I believe it's time we ditch the rules of this world that are keeping us enslaved in the grind, playing from behind, and instead opt in to a conscious and strategic upgrade, one that is founded in timeless principles that can only be accessed through the power of the heart. So if you've been craving deeper, more meaningful relationships, vibrant bodies full of life force and true prosperity in all arenas, this podcast is for you. My name is Christine Jewell. I'm a high performance coach and faith-based mentor, and together we will awaken the king or queen you are destined to be so you can experience the fullness of life that's waiting for you. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome back to the show. It is Christine Jewell. And today I have a guest with me. You guys, I love having awesome, epic conversations with amazing guests. Today I'm joined by Kyler Croft. Am I saying that right? I better be saying that right.
That's right.
Okay. He is the founder of Saddlebrook Homes. You guys, he is more than just an entrepreneur. He is a story of resilience. He is a testament to the power of believing in oneself. He's an example of humble beginnings and leading to extraordinary achievements. I love his story. And I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but I'm just going to give you guys a snippet. At the age of 19, he had a vision beyond his years, and he embarked on an entrepreneurial journey that was less about building sheds and tiny home and more about constructing a life marked by purpose, peace, and prosperity. I love the fact that young men can have this level of fire and purpose in their heart. So founding Saddlebrook Life was the first step in a journey that was about to unfold in ways that Kyler could have never imagined. He comes from a small town in Arkansas. I'm going to let you guys hear his story, but it has been anything but linear. In 2022, he faced the kind of adversity that tests the soul's limit. He was on the verge of bankruptcy. It was a period of profound reflection and redirection. And now he's on the other side. And his story is awesome. And the reason why I wanted to have Kyler on the show is that, first of all, last week's episode, we talked about that breakdown moment where you just want to burn everything down, where you think life is like over. You want to crawl under a rock. You never want to come out. You do not want to show your face in public. You're so underwater. You feel like there's a noose around your neck. And I encourage you guys that sometimes that is the setup for the next season of your life, that God is putting you through this place to really shape your character. And so I think it's so fitting that we're having this conversation on the heels of that episode, because I shared my story. Now I want to share some other people's story that are on the other side. And what is so awesome is that Kyler is not in his 40s or 50s, but in his 20s, and he has a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. And I just love this guy. So I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining me.
I'm super excited. Every time I come on a podcast, it's like, this is my new, like, I'm so excited. So thank you for having me on the show. I've been waiting for this like 2 weeks. So for all your listeners out there, this isn't, you know, we're out here building businesses and we're out here doing the daily thing, but this is really where I get fulfillment, because I get to share my story and everything that we go through on a daily basis. So super excited to be on the show for your guest.
Awesome. So good. So good. Well, I want you to start and share your story. A little bit of your background. So, you know, I think with all of our stories, when we share, we can always see a version of ourselves in each other's story. So you guys, as you're listening to Kyler's story, obviously tune in and see where you see yourself as well. But Kyler, tell us your humble beginnings, where you started.
Oh my goodness.
What launched you into the world of entrepreneurship and construction and doing, having the business that you have today, which is quite a successful business. So
let's start all the way at the beginning, because I was telling my coach, Stacey Wallace, I was like, you know, every time I share my story, I find things that I'm like, okay, I never shared that before, but it was a crucial thing. Like I had to go through that. And it's like connecting the dots. So going back in everybody's story, you have to, like, you know, tell it over and over again, and then you continue to connect those dots. But going back, I'm an eighth grade dropout out of Arkansas. We lived in a small town. There wasn't many people. Grew up on a farm. My dad did ranching for the longest, basically all his life. He was in some commercial roofing, but we grew up on a farm. We had the family, you know, family farm life, and that's just all we knew. We didn't know anything else. And back in 2015. So as soon as I got out of, well, I dropped out of high school, I went directly worked for my dad on the ranch. I was doing cows. We did, you know, back and forth that. Back in 2015, I was about 17 at the time. We moved to Texas, where we live now. That I did continue to do ranching there. I was making $250 a week working for my dad. And that's the moment that I'm like, I think every kid is like, there's got to be something else out there, but I just don't know what it is. I don't know what God's got for me. But at that moment, I was, you know, I was the kid that was making $250 a week, and my bank account didn't look good. Back then, I was like chasing the money because I needed more money. I couldn't go do this. I wanted to do that. But really, you know, as an eighth grade dropout, all I really knew was ranching. All I knew was what my dad had taught me. And we didn't grow up with a lot of social media, that kind of stuff. I wasn't around it. But so 2019, it was the breaking point of me saying, I'm sick and tired of only making $250 a week. There's got to be something else. So before that business started, there was three other businesses that I started with my dad that all failed before that, before I started building the shed. Mm-hmm. So I'll go into the main story. Mm-hmm. One idea can change everything. I didn't know that that 12 by 16 shed was going to turn into this, but I decided to go to Lowe's. I went to the neighbor's yard. I picked out every piece of lumber that I was going to have to buy so I can get a list. Because remember, I have a eighth grade education. I don't have construction background. I don't know how to build a shed. I don't know what materials I need. I don't know what a two by four, like I just didn't, I mean, I didn't grow up doing that. So I got my material list, went to Lowe's, bought the materials, and came back home. Took me about 2 weeks to build it. And guess what? I sold it, but I didn't have a point of sale system. I didn't even know how to deliver the thing to the customer. So that's another story for another day. But going into it, I didn't even know how I was going to deliver it. But I didn't think that far. I was like, I just need to get it built. Like, I need to get started. And I think that's, you know, I feel like that's part of the journey where I decided, and I even use it to this day, is where I like just get started, even though I don't know how to do it, even though I don't know everything, the plans that God has for me, just get started. But built it, finally got it delivered for my first customer. I was coming home, had an accident because I was so excited. Like, it's my first one. I was like, finally something that's going to work. Had an accident, nobody got hurt. Then we started building. So I built the first 12. For the first year, I was really the only guy that was out there. My dad helped me a little bit, my younger brother. And I was running all production. I was building them, selling them, making sure they're getting delivered, making sure the lumber gets there on time. I was having to do all that till I decided, hey, I can't scale this just by myself. So I was like, I told my dad, I was like, hey, we've got to get some people in here to help us. That's when we got more helpers. We got people to build our stuff. And then I took over deliveries, sales, and did some more of the kind of the management side of it. So 2020, that's when we decided to bring Colton, my younger brother. He was a seventh grade dropout. He was brought on as just a production manager. And then, was it 2021, we brought him on as CEO of the company. So he was 21 at the time when we had named him CEO of the company.
Wow.
That, marking that journey, I mean, the first year, I think we did around $300,000 in sales, which I never even thought that was possible, going from $250 a week, now having a business that, you know, I'm actually making the money, but I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. But COVID hit, and that was me and Colton. We were 20 and 22 at the time, and man, it was like our world took off. Sales skyrocketed. We thought the end of the, you know, everybody else thought the end of the world was coming. And our sales started skyrocketing. Yeah. But that's when, that year is when we found out that, hey, we were actually not making money. Just because you're selling all this money, even have all these sales coming in, but if you don't have your books right, if accounting, if you don't know all those numbers, if you don't know your true numbers, you really don't know what, if you're making a profit. And at that time, we were not making a profit.
What was your revenue that year? Because you started at 250 a week, then you jumped to 300K. Obviously, you don't jump overnight, but this is like a, you know, so a step.
2019, 2020, we hit 2.3. The next year was 7 million. And then the year that we met Stacy, we went all the way to eight figures.
Okay. But so, I just want to say, we go from 300K to 2.3 million to 7 million. And this is important for you guys listening. Explosive growth really, really fast. Because we also have a lot of people that are in tech or construction and other things like that where they have just like, whew, this flood comes in. It's like the floodgates have been opened. It looks like there's a lot of money coming in. And then you said, but there's not a lot of profit or any.
Right. That's when we figured out, we were talking to bankruptcy lawyers. We were on the verge of going broke. And that's when Colton met Stacy Wallace with Fueled by Fire. Mm. She came in actually as a customer looking for a tiny home for her ranch. And that conversation turned to even more. And that was the year that we went platinum with them. We never did coaching before then. We were just two young dudes thinking that we had the world by our hand, but we really didn't know that we were actually on a down spiral because we didn't have the systems, processes that a company needs to scale to the next. You know, I could have kept on doing the 2.3 or the 7 million every year, but if you want to go to different levels and you want to have a successful company and have a good culture and have all those things, we didn't, like I said, going back, eighth grade dropout, you don't learn much in eight, you know, going to school for, I was 13 when I dropped, 13 or right at 14 when I dropped out. So I didn't have any schooling. I don't have a GED. I don't have a high school diploma. I don't have a college degree or anything like that. So I didn't come from learning, you know, it's just whatever we learned from our dad, that's just all we knew. So we didn't know nothing about this coaching thing. We spent over six figures on coaching, but that was the pivotal moment where I decided that coaching and investing back into yourself actually will get you to the next level. And it'll put that confidence in you and saying, hey, now it's, you know, let's learn all we can so we can help and grab all the people back. So it's that story, you know, I go deeper every time because there's a lot of nights and conversations that a lot of people don't know. You know, I was the person that, you know, I went from $250 a week, and we had our own 2 years in, we had our own event in Dallas, and we had about 40 people in the room, and I was speaking up. Well, I was hosting the event, and I had six speakers come in, and I remember Stacy telling me, drop your ego. Your ego is too high.
I want to talk about
that. I went from $250 a week to where, okay, now I've got some money in the bank. The business is doing good. But really deep down, I didn't think about nothing else because I was chasing money. I was chasing the success. I was chasing literally everything that I was watching on social media. I was watching, you know, this person doing eight figures or this person doing 10 million in their business. I was like, I want to be that. I want to be the guy that does 10 million in their business. Or I want to be the guy that made 150,000. But what I didn't realize is I was chasing the wrong things.
Yeah.
And I just realized this about 6 months ago. I didn't figure this out.
I just want to pause because you don't have to be 20. Like sometimes it's easy to go, okay, well, you know, you're 20, what, 24 now? 24, 25?
I just turned 25.
25. You know, it's easy for someone who's like a decade or two decades older to go, oh, well, you know, that's just immaturity of being young. But the reality is I also work with people every day. It doesn't matter how old you are, what age you're at, ego is ego. And we all got it. And money, fame, success, stuff, status, it'll do things to you if you're not careful. And this is the conversation that we're having day in and day out behind the scenes too, is that we somehow along the way, we start off really humble. We start off hungry. We start off with really good intentions, too much, too fast. Not only do we not have the systems and the processes, we lack the character to really hold what's getting poured into our life, you know? And so here we are, and it's like an illusion of success. Mm. So I just want us to pause for a minute because I think it doesn't matter what age you're at. We all have an illusion of what success looks like. And what's, you know, so you already said a little bit, your illusion of success was built on what you were watching on social media. I know you were part of a couple of different masterminds as well and following people, you know, having a lot of revenue coming in. And I want to say this because I also work with people who are doing eight figures, managing nine figures of revenue, and like money's coming in, but it's going out the back door faster than, you know, it's coming in. And so we're, I always use the comment, like, we are delusional. Okay. We're delusional. Can you talk about the illusion of success for a minute? Like, what does that mean to you? And what does success really mean on this side? And then I do want to talk about really that moment that you were in the squeeze after, because I think it's important for people to understand, like, what you're actually going through when you're in that wilderness. But first, I want to talk about this illusion of success that we have. So I don't know what's coming up for you. Because, like, what is success really?
Back then, it was totally different. You know, as a kid, you know, there's so much social media. You know, you're on TikTok, if it's TikTok or Instagram, Facebook, or wherever it is, and those reels, and you're just like going back, you know, and you're seeing all this success. And really, you get a I don't know how to say it, I guess a fake illusion of what success looks like. And for me, it was saying, okay, I like that where they're at in their life. They're at chapter 20, but I'm starting at chapter 1. But how's that success? You know, their success is going to look different than mine. But back then, I was so much chasing money because I was tired of making $250. And I don't think that I would change anything that I did, because it got me where I'm at. But I figured out what got me here won't get me where I'm going. So I'm having to shift my perspective and my character. But it all built the character of how I got here. So my illusion was that I just want to be that person. I want to be someone else that God didn't put me on this earth to be. That's who I looked at myself and said, I want to be the guy on social media. I want to be the guy on TikTok that's, you know, that it looks like he's got a successful business. But just because someone says they got a successful business and it sounds good doesn't really mean that they have a successful business. And I didn't know that. Yeah. I only knew what was on social media. That's just all that I knew. But yeah, that all shifted when I got coaching. It shifted my character and saying, who do I want to be? And what shifted that was people started doing what I was doing, and they were doing it in excess of what I was doing, how I was speaking, how I was looking at success. You know, if I'd go buy a boat, okay, now I've got employees that are starting to buy bad assets. So my view of success was totally different than it is now, got me here won't get me where I want, you know, where I want to go.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I'm glad that you said that, because I think it's so easy to beat ourselves up and be like, oh, what was wrong with me? You know, that was part of our stage of development. You know, I call it the warrior. It's our early warrior days. We just want to go out and slay everything. And it feels so good. You know, you're just like, I want a battle. And then it's the next one. And whether it's the next client, the next deal, the next dollar, the next relationship, the next thing, it's a season of our life. And I'm so, like, I love the fact that we're having this conversation and you're in your 20s, because again, I was 40 before I hit that point where I was face down on the ground. Like, I'm so exhausted from proving and chasing. And, you know, there was a lot of power with that. It felt good, but I was also super tired. I was super upside down. And I want to go back to something you said, because you were a Christian before. It's not like you didn't know who God was and all of that, right? But you have a totally different relationship. And I love what you said about, before I was chasing what the world taught me I should be instead of who God tells me I was put here to be. Okay. And that is so huge, because our identity, we get a distorted, twisted identity. And I think, to your point, it is, like, it's eye-opening. We can do this for ourselves, but having a great coach, having a great mentor, having wise counsel and people in our life who can hold up that big fat mirror in front of our face and go, hey, sweetheart, you know, who are you when everything else is stripped away? That's really, you know, who are you when you don't have the fancy boat and the cars and all that stuff? And then when we can get that identity right, I think that, you know, things start getting back in order. But I love that you said, we wouldn't go back and change anything. I wouldn't necessarily change anything here either where I'm at, but I'm certainly not going to relive that season. I'll tell you that much. So I'm like, I'm done. And it's so much better on this side. And I'm going to ask you some specific questions, because obviously a lot of my listeners are leaders, CEOs, founders, like they've started businesses. They're in, and they're trying to figure out how to bridge the gap between, like, the world system, the world's way of doing business, and then, like, God's way. And I actually heard someone say the other day, well, if you do business, you just can't do business God's way. You can't do entrepreneurship God's way. That's like for the, you know, employees or whatever. And I'm right. Like, that is so backwards. But I want to go back to, before we jump into that, that moment where you were like facing bankruptcy and you were just like, had to face the reality of the situation. What was going on in your mind, in your head? Cause I think you can really speak into some people that might be there at that crossroads right now, that they're like, man, I worked my butt off to build this business and everything is look like going to go down in flames here. Maybe it's their marriage. It doesn't really matter because the feeling is the same, but what are some things that were going through your mind, you know, that you were thinking like
totally something totally opposite than peace and profits. I can tell you that. It was pure, like, you know, up to that point, I thought I was doing everything right. So that feeling is saying, you know, you want to just quit. You want to just say, you know what, it's easier to go work for somebody else. It's easier to, you know, go do something else, because I just got done working, you know, 6 days a week, 16-hour weeks, and I keep putting my time in. I keep doing what I think is the right thing, but is it? Am I being teachable, and am I being able to listen? And if I could say anything that helped me even now, even today's date, is to just stop and reflect. Sometimes looking back as an entrepreneur, as wanting to go get the eight figures and all that, is I never took time to just reflect. I never just took time to just stop, because from day one, I was go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to stop, but that feeling of, it's really a feeling of being stuck, and you're totally out of ideas. You just want to quit and you want to give up. And that's the enemy speaking, saying, you know, you're not worthy. You're not worth it. You're not smart. Yeah. Because I had all those small voices. Yeah. I still to this day have to fight those small voices when I get off stage, or as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going to have small voices and it's going to say, well, you should have said this, or, you know, all those small voices. But they were hitting me. I mean, they were hitting us all. It was not just me. It was my dad was in the room. My brother was in the room, you know, and we were still had the same fight, but we knew we had each other's back. And when we left that room, that next year, that was the $7 million year. That next year we did $13.8 million in our business. So we decided there's a crossroads that you can either go left or right. You can either change what you're doing and you can shift and you can say, hey, I don't know everything. That was the year that we, Stacy and Larry were coaching us. And that was the start of the year of saying, hey, we want to be teachable. We want to be coachable. And like, be hard on us this year, because, hey, we just got out of this bankruptcy. Now I want you to like really be coaches and really push me. And that's for another conversation, because they started pushing us after we got out of the bankruptcy, after we fought out of that, we got out of it. Everything was looking good.
Did you go bankrupt? Did you file bankruptcy?
No.
No,
we didn't. Okay. We didn't have to.
Yeah. But you really thought that it was going to be, you were talking.
We were speaking with, yes, that was our next option, was to see, are we going to be able to keep the house, or are we not going to be able to keep the house? So at that point, we were still living at home. So we were, you know, it was between, you know, how many acres are we going to be able to keep, the house, whatever. And then how do you get rid of the business that you worked, you know, your tail off for those 3 years? What's going to happen to it? It's just going to go to nothing, really. Yeah. But we worked ourselves out of that. And it took a lot of grit. It took a lot of patience. It took, because that moment is when you're literally in the bottom, you hit rock bottom. And there might be some people on this listening to this right now. When you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere up, but you got to go up. You've got to look up and you've got to get that confidence. You've got to get back up, because the enemy wants you to stay down there where it might not be comfortable, but it's easier to just quit and give up. But be the example. We knew we had to be the example. We had really, what drove us was the employees and the people that were working for us, and saying, like, the families that we're feeding and the difference that we're making. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up, because what we started is something that's going to, you know, change the world. It's changing lives. And that really pushed us in saying, hey, we've got to step up. We've got to do things differently. What we're doing is not working. We know that. And we've got to shift away from this mindset of chasing the money and chasing everything for ourselves and saying, hey, how can we give back? How can we train better? How can we have better systems and processes to where we can actually have peace and some profits? Because I can tell you that being at the bottom, it's not fun. It was not a good year.
It's humiliating. Let's just call it. Yes.
It was not a fun year. I will always remember it.
But it's so important. Like, we need to get there, you know? And I always say, like, we don't need to keep going through that over and over and over and over again. So if you're somebody listening that has gone through it over and over and over again, wisdom, learn from our experiences, right? That's why I said, like, I will surrender and obey sooner now, Lord, because I don't want to go back into that place. But I want to just say that you said a couple things. I wrote them down. I want to reiterate them. Number one, you've got to slow down. Like, when you get to the point where everything is not working, everything is like making it harder, take twice as long and three times as expensive. And it's like the ability to just slow down, or the willingness, it really is a game changer. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think I asked you that when we met each other in person. I was like, what was the moment that you knew that you knew that you knew, like, where you were actually ready to go, okay, put my ego aside? And you told me it was the bench moment, because you were sitting on a bench by yourself and all of a sudden you had your breakthrough moment. It wasn't somebody hitting you over the head. And I think it's important, like, that we have coaches. I love Stacy and Larry. They're awesome. And I love the fact that they don't take note, you know what, because you need people like that in your life that are going to tell you the hard thing. And, you know, we can run from that, but you just said, am I coachable? Am I teachable? Am I willing to listen? Because we like to tell ourselves we're teachable and coachable.
But to that, I had to ask myself that question, because the first 2023, that's when we had told him, hey, go hard on us, because I thought I was coachable. I thought I had dropped my ego, but I didn't. I wasn't coachable. I didn't want to hear it. There was a period of around 6 months, and Larry and Stacy, if you ever have this conversation with her, you can ask her. I did not want to get on the phone with her, even though I'm sitting on her. She's probably going to listen to this. She already knows. I didn't want to get on the phone with her. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it, because I was just sick and tired of everything around me. I wasn't being fulfilled, but I wasn't listening to myself, or was I listening to God? I didn't have that relationship, because if I go back and I look at let's say I go back to the bench when I was making $250 a week, I thought that the $100,000 salary or the $200,000 salary or the successful business I'm going to be happy and everything is going to be good. But I was still lacking something. What that bench taught me was saying, is to stop, to pray, pause, reflect, ask, and then say yes.
Say that again. Say that again.
It's pray, pray, pause, reflect, ask, and then say yes. That's what Stacy had sent me out to the bench. And that really was the pivotal moment. I said that the only thing I was missing was my relationship with God. And I had, like, if I want to be a leader of leaders, and if I want to go, like, have that transcendence, the 40th floor and above, if I want to have peace and profits, I have to let go of myself, because I don't have to be what that person looks like on social media. I don't have to be, because that person back when $250 a week was wanting to be somebody that he would never be happy at. And that's just where it came to, was I thought I had everything. But when I got to that moment, I was like, I don't like this life. I don't, even though I had a business that was doing 8 figures, I hated myself. Every weekend, I hated myself. And that came down to saying, like if I don't like myself, I don't like where I'm at, like, there's got to be change. Because even, you know, we had a successful business, but it came down to, you know, letting go of myself and asking more of God and having that relationship and being able to. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
I think I lost.
No, okay. I'm here.
I had to make a shift on that bench, and I just had to pause. I sat on that bench for like 45 minutes. Yeah. And I just had to sit there, and I had to forgive myself, because over those last 4 years, I was hard on myself. I was like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And I had to just let go and say, hey, God, you know, you know everything that I go through, you know, everything, you know, I'm not a perfect human being. I'm just going to let go, and I'm going to let God do the rest.
Yeah.
But saying that, you still have to put in the work. You still, like.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second here, the work. But you just said something again I want to tap, because I was, two things, even this morning when I was doing my listening prayer, which is, you know, Holy Spirit or Father, what do you have of me? And, you know, that's a practice I've been doing for a while as well. And even this morning when I was laying in bed and then I started journaling, he says, just ask for help, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of growth going. And sometimes we can get into this lone wolf kind of territory where we're like, no, I know how to do it. I'm going to do it all. And the ability to ask for help, you know, it's so powerful, but also the ability to forgive yourself. That's huge, right? Because I think it's like, okay, I know I'm forgiven, but we are so hard on ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. Like, we will not release the whip. And it's such a burden. It's such a weight. And so maybe there's somebody listening right now that has things that you just need to release, like forgive yourself, so that you can like be free to move on. Cause it's a heavy burden, to carry all that stuff. You know, we're humans. We make mistakes. We mess up royally. Like, that's part of the human condition. We will continue to do that. We are not God. Like, we need to walk with God, but man, we try to play that role. Like, get ready. Cause it's going to fall ugly real fast. So talk to me about, what are some of those specific things that you knew had to change immediately? And I want you to break it down, because I'm mostly interested in what had to change in your character. And I know you've already tapped on it a few times, but we say this all the time, as within, so without. Everywhere you go, there you are. So you can have all the systems and processes in the world, but if you don't change stuff on the inside, that's still only going to take you so far. So share with us a couple of things, like what had to change? What did you need to get in order on the inside, whether it was your mindset, your heart, your character? And then I want to talk about, what are some tactical things that you had to put in place on the outside to actually have a business that operated profitably and peacefully, you know, without all the stress and the strife? But start with the inside game, internal game.
So really what had to shift, you know, even my character of how I was leading, it all came down to, you know, how was I communicating? You know, I did the story at the event a year before that. We were on our platinum trip, and my communication skills, I probably couldn't get on this podcast, and I just couldn't do a speech because I was so scared about, I don't know what it is. I'm still trying to search back where it happened that I couldn't speak or whatever, but my communication skills, I knew I had to learn better communication skills. I had to learn better leadership. I had to learn, you know, what I was watching, all that stuff going in. I knew I had to make a shift, and I'll speak on this a little bit, because I was at a point where, cussing a lot. I was, you know, didn't have the good language. I was watching the stuff I shouldn't be watching as far as movies and stuff, you know. But what was going in, the music that I was listening to at the gym, the you know, the people that I was around that were not the leader that, you know, that I'm supposed to become, that I am. But I had to shift away from saying, hey, what got me here won't get me there. If I want to be a leader on stage, if I want to be a kingdom business, you know, builder of building these businesses and building people up, I've got to make a shift inside. Number one thing that I was missing was God. I did not have a relationship with God. I didn't spend time like I do every morning now reading my Bible. I wasn't investing. I was running. I was waking up and I was going to the gym and boom, straight to work. And I was like, work 12, 13 hours and come back home and then do it again the next morning. But I wasn't giving God the time that he was needing, you know, in order to shape and mold me into the person that I'm now becoming. And I didn't want to take that time. Like, even though my coaches, my scaffolding, I had all that in place. They were telling me, hey, you need to do this, or hey, we do this. And I was catching on to it, but it was the point where I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
I wasn't willing to let go of my old self to go in to my new wineskin. Mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to let go of it because I thought that's, and because looking back, it got me like thinking, it got me where I'm at. So why would I let go of that person if it got me an eight-figure business, if it got me 40 plus employees? Why would I want to change that? And it went from stuck to being, say, hey, drop your ego again, drop it again. And you've got to start all over again. It's day one all over again. And you've got to build the character that now it's, you know, it's levels. The way I look at it is levels. There's always, I get to the top of the mountain and I see another one. Okay, if I want to get to that top, it's going to take a different character, a different person, a different attitude. It's going to take that different person to get me to that next level. And going to those next levels means you can't do it the old way. Even though it hurts and you're like, why do I have to do this? Because now, you know, I'm going to the gym. I don't like cussing. I'm getting rid of that. I had to switch, you know, the movies that I watch, the music that I listen to, the people that I'm listening to, you know, the coaches, because there's so many coaches out there that you listen to, the social media. I had to say, hey, if I want to go to the next level, if I want to have a different character, I've got to start treating myself like I'm already there. So what would that person, where I'm wanting to go, what would that person be listening to? What would that person be watching on, if it's YouTube, what are you listening, watching every single day? Because the enemy is going to throw stuff in front of you to keep getting you off track, to bring you back to your old life. Because the bigger the vision, the bigger the goal God has for you, the probably the more snares and the stuff that's going to come your way.
Yeah.
But that shift was saying, I hate where I'm at. So I'm willing to let go of everything if it means that I can build a brand new character. Because what got me here won't get me where I'm going. It won't get me on the stages. It won't get me, you know, coaching to thousands of people if I'm, you know, wanting to stay where I'm at. So, you know, we have 40 plus employees. We've got an amazing culture. And it was time to up level. And I came to my brother Colton and I said, it's time to up level. It's time to get our game. You know, we were going to events, probably 12. We were going to 12 events a year. We were going, you know, we were on Mastermind, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I said, I'm sick and tired of it. I said, I want to put myself around the people. I see myself as this. I want to be this in a year. I want to be this in 2 years. Who is that person listening to?
Yeah.
Who is that person? You know, what's the scaffolding look like? Yeah. So I just started reverse engineering it and saying, here's my game plan. Here's how I'm going to, you know, execute on those things daily and start doing them. Is it going to be perfect that on day one? It's not, but I've got to make the change now. It's day one. You've got to make the change. Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to is just, you know, you got a goal saying at the end of the year, you want to be this, but you don't want to put in the work. Putting in the work to building a different character is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And that was the season where Stacy, you know, came to me and said, if you want to go here, it's going to take more than you've ever put into, you know, investing in yourself and listening. And to be honest with it, this, you know, it's March 18th. And I can tell everybody on this podcast that's listening right now is you just got to start. It ain't going to be perfect when you start. It ain't going to be the right, you know, you're thinking it's not the right time. Today is the right time.
Yeah.
Today is when I decided, if you go all the way back to when I built that shed, that was day one.
I
keep having these day ones of starting new things in my life. That's building the character of where God is, has me in the direction where I'm going. It's not necessarily being perfect on those day ones. It's just starting. That's really my whole tactile system is just starting, not really not knowing, but now I put my full trust in God saying, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it no matter what, because you've got me here. You got me where I'm at. Now I need you the rest of the way. And it's just tactical wise, it's starting. It's day one.
Y'all, day one, day one, day one. Every day, every moment, every minute, every meal, it's day one. It's the next meal. What you want to change your diet? It's that next meal. I love it. It's so true. Like, it's not.
I could go into that. We started. I was eating bad food, and right? I decided, hey, that's not gonna. It's not gonna work.
Right. So the next workout. It's like day one for my workout. Even today was day one of sprints. I went back to the park and I started doing sprints on the grass and. I love doing sprints, but it's been so long and it's so easy to go, you know, one day I'm going to get back to that, or everything needs to be perfect in order for me to do it. you know, I'm just going to jump off that because I think it's so true. You know, one of the things I know just works for me is like sprints, like short-term sprints, like from a physical perspective. But I was like, oh no, making all these excuses. My knee this, I don't have the, you know, I don't have the right environment. And today I was like, no, it's day one. I'm going to the park. I'm taking my shoes off. I'm doing sprints in the soccer field and I feel amazing. And it is really just giving yourself the grace and just making the decision. Day one is the minute we make the decision, isn't it? Like, are you deciding 100%. Today? And I love the fact that you built that shed and you had the shed built and you didn't even know how you were going to deliver it. Like, that's what we're talking about when we're like, you know, man sets his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We just, amen. It's like that light unto our feet is just that one step. That's all we can see. We kind of have a lay of the land. We put plans in place, but we have to really release. We got to release and walk together. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up about the music, actually, because it sounds so simple. But I remember all the angry music, beast mode playlists that I used to listen to, even when I was racing and competing. And I would use that to like get myself all worked up. And even Mark and I, you know, we put it on in the garage and get all worked up. But it's almost like a false power and a false energy you're getting from that, right? Because it's not sustainable. It's not life-giving. You just get yourself all riled up and you're using this crazy adrenaline and norepinephrine and cortisol to go produce. And that's one of the things I'm passionate about too, is like, look, you can keep throwing yourself into that state, but you're always going to create from pressure, from pain, from anger, right? And like, that is not sustainable. And usually what you create from that state, you create more of. So if you create from pressure, you create more pressure. If you create more anger from anger, you create more things that piss you off or make you angry, right? Like, you gotta like think about, are we consciously creating with God? He doesn't create anything from that place, you know? He burns some things down and prunes things way back. So good. I love it. See, we always have a day one, regardless of where you're at. There's always going to be another day one. And that's the whole point. You guys, that is so good. It doesn't matter where you come from, small town, small minded mentalities, small paychecks, you can break out. And that's what breaking chains is all about. It's breaking the chains of our past to create to be the ones who make the way for everybody else, right? Somebody's got to go first. Is it going to be you that leads it for everybody else? And so if you're listening to this, you are someone who's being called to break free from the generational patterns, generational stories, to be the one that lights that torch and shows everybody else there's another way forward. So, Kyler, I just want to honor you. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to put down the social handles and stuff below. Obviously, he's got a huge message, a big heart to share with the world. Plus, you can check out Saddlebrook Homes. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, here's to loving fiercely, leading courageously. And remember, if there is somebody right now that's on your heart that needs to hear this message, share this podcast episode, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, forward this message to somebody else. And if you haven't done so, leave a 5-star review, because these reviews make a huge difference in getting this podcast rated and spreading the message. We cannot do it alone, but together we can move mountains. So thank you again for being here, guys. We'll catch you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute right now to subscribe and review. Your 5-star review goes so far in getting this message into the ears and hearts of the people who need to receive it. Thank you again for being part of this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed, and prosperous day.